Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Okay, I'm back with Jose Rizarri, and we already have learned where you are in this Guido and salud and tecnología and helping the aged and the young. It's going to be amplified beyond that. But now let's, you know, I know it's more gerontology and that's your sweet. How did you determine, when did you determine that this would be your area, your lifetime and career? And then, and how did it start channeling into where you are right now?
Well, you know, I think like many of us, our families, it's the core of everything, you know. If you, you know, I think that one of the unfortunately, one of the biggest problems that Puerto Rico have at this time is the connection. You know, the family structure has been violated by many reasons. You know,
and you had a big your father and both your father and your mother. We'll get to that later.
Yeah,
on,
later.
But each had 12, right?
12,
there were 12 brothers and sisters. So there was when they got together, there was 24. So anybody there had 23 aunts and
exactly.
Well, so, 20 multiplied by 2, so 40.
Yeah. Wow. And then, okay. And not only, you know, I think that the numbers are numbers, but when you have 24 and they are angels, are very powerful too, because they were great. Yeah, you know, they were values, and you know, they came hardworking people, and I feel so proud to be an Irizarri and a Betancourt, you know, because that's the way it is. But you know, going back to why I studied gerontology, it was my mother and my aunt. You know, actually it was not my aunt, actually it was my cousin, but I always call her aunt because Titi Aida, because we call it Titi Aida, was older than me.
Right.
So, you know, for me, she was an aunt, but it's really a cousin.
Right.
It was the daughter of my aunt.
Right.
Titi Aida. But Titi Aida was a microbiologist, and she was teaching at the University of Calle in the medical department, and she was very much interested in including that. She was in the forefront of that. It was very important to include aging into whatever the students of medicine were taking at that time, because aging was not part of the curriculum.
Right.
You know. So she told me about the opportunity to study gerontology, and my mom. Well, she was thinking of, you know, we have a 5 acres in Carolina at that time, and she always thought that one of the things that she wanted to have is a nursing home. And this is in 1975, 76, 78, you know, something like that. So they were very much ahead of what was happening at that time, and they said, well, why do I want to talk about old people? But then I started thinking, you know, that it's a good way to understand myself, because, you know, everybody age. You know, so I think that it was good to...
Because the other alternative is not very good.
No, it's dying, you know, you're dying. Gone, you know. So I think it was very, very smart, you know, to, because I saw my mom, you know, and my father from, they had my father's side, you know, there were some, you know, health issues, because, you know, longevity is impacted by genes. And from my father's side, I saw that most of my father's brothers died of a heart attack, you know. So I said, well, there's something I need to work here, because it's prevention, exercise, proper nutrition. It was very important, and that is gerontology, impacts longevity. So to know myself was one of my most important things, and then to really understand my mother and my father, how I was going to deal with them eventually. So I thought that that was a very good way to start with me and my family, and then that would translate eventually in my business right now, you know. So that's where it all started. And because at that time, my Titi Aida told me that the best university, not because it was the best university, but the best program was in Syracuse with Walter Beattie, because Walter Beattie at that time was the advisor to the United Nations in aging, and then he was a consultant for the government of Puerto Rico. So she said, this is a good program,
right?
You know, so that's why it motivated me to go to Syracuse University.
But when she said that, and when you finally arrived, quite a few, couple of interesting things happened.
Yeah.
You decide you want to study in the States, but then how do you go about getting to the States?
Well, I started, you know, one of the things, I like I told you before, I played baseball. I came from baseball. You know, I played AA baseball here and for 7 years, and then I... And then I realized that I wasn't going to be a professional for whatever reasons. I went to the Army, you know, I was with the 82nd Airborne Division, and at that time when I came back, I was old to play baseball professionally.
Right.
So I started at the university, started teaching tennis, you know, playing tennis. So I got to play not that well, but I was a good teacher, you know, because I think that it's not, sometimes very good tennis players are not good teachers.
Right, right.
You know, and actually the good tennis pro is not a good tennis
player,
you know. So sometimes good tennis pros are not good tennis players.
They can, yeah.
Usually, it has, but sometimes it's not, you know. So anyway, I consider myself that I could be a good tennis pro, a good tennis teacher, because I was teaching, studying physical education at the University of Puerto Rico at that time. So from a pedagogic point of view, from pedagogy, out of that word. But anyway, there is a certain way to teach. And a skill is, you have to know how to teach a skill. So I started teaching tennis. And I taught in Dorado del Mar, I taught in San Juan, but at the San Juan, I was teaching there, and there was a bar there, or a club called the Honka Munka.
I used to go there.
Yeah, many people used to go there, and it was a hot spot. And at that time, they played music live. So these guys.
But it was hot, not evil. It was
no.
For good people. No,
yeah, definitely.
I don't want the audience.
No,
especially the younger group.
Exactly. You know,
it was a good place.
It was hot at that time. Was a different situation. You know, not like now. But anyway, they had a band that played music there live. So they had this group that was playing, and the group was based in Vegas at that time, but they were playing here in Puerto Rico, and they used to go to play tennis at the court. So I started hanging out with them because they met me, and then I used to go to see the show. And one day they had these congas there, and because they knew that I was I wasn't another conga player, because every Puerto Rican is very rhythmical. I think that you have to, if you're an athlete or whatever, rhythm is very important. So I had some congas in my house, and I wanted to go to school in the United States at one time. So they invited me to go to stage to play some music.
But that was impromptu. I mean, it wasn't like, Jose, I'm going to invite you.
No.
The tennis pro, come on up here. I understand you know how to play the congos.
Yeah.
They were just going to laugh at you. But you obviously played it well, I think, right?
I played a little bit, you know. So, and because this is not a salsa band. You know, when it's a salsa band, then you have to be very, very good conga player.
Salsa wasn't in. At that time, and that came.
Well, but the group was not a salsa group. It was more a lounge group, what it's called, and it was top 10 music, which is the conga or percussion is not the core of the music of the group. So I could really, with whatever I did, it sounded good.
Yeah,
you know,
it wasn't
that I was good. It's just that the way it is, that's the way it goes. So anyway, they invited me to go to play with them in Vegas. So I wind up being a musician.
And in part because you wanted to get to the States.
Exactly.
And that would bring you, hopefully, closer to Syracuse, right?
Syracuse. And at the same time, I think that in life, if you're afraid to go, you will never know. You know, I think that part of why my mother used to be very much like that. She believed in whatever you believe and your mind can do, it could be done. So.
And you go with you're married, and
I have
a small boy.
And they moved to, and you know, Linda, my wife at this time, she was an incredible. She still is an incredible woman. You know, she's my best friend now, and she believed in that. She believed in this crazy guy that had this dream of going over there. She moved to Los Angeles, and I was working in Vegas, and she was working in LA. At that time, she had her sister living in Los Angeles, so she was, and she grew too. You know, she got a job with Max Factor working in Hollywood, and right by the Roosevelt Hotel, right across the street from the Mann Theater, and I was working in the band in Vegas.
And living in a mobile home, right?
Well, no, we live in Vegas. We had a house, but we traveled around the United States in a motor home.
Okay.
You know, because he didn't believe in flying. So everything we need to do, we did driving.
Right.
You know, so I remember my first, we drove from all the way from Vegas to Chicago to play in a French restaurant. A Vegas group playing in a French restaurant was crazy because everybody was eating and they put their hands in their ears and all that, because turn the beat around, you're playing all this crazy music. But anyway, it was a great experience. We I had the experience to travel all around the United States driving, you know.
And the longest drive in the mobile home was
where? Was from, actually, it was crazy. We drove from all the way from Vegas to Miami Beach. So we went across the United States. It took us almost half, you know, a week. But we stopped in different campgrounds, KOAs.
And right.
So we took time driving. So that's how I eventually went from Vegas. I moved to Los Angeles to be with my wife, and I got a job in Abercrombie & Fitch. We opened that store in Beverly Hills, and because of my tennis and fitness background and sports, I was managing the fitness and sports section of the store.
And that was the first Abercrombie & Fitch.
Well, actually, right? The first Abercrombie & Fitch in Los Angeles, because Oshman Sporting Goods bought the name Abercrombie & Fitch from a very famous store in New York.
Right.
You know, which was very exclusive. You know, the one thing about Abercrombie was that you could buy whatever you wanted in Abercrombie & Fitch. If you couldn't find it there, we look for it.
Right.
You can buy a safari to Africa. You know, we had a special, like a $50,000 shotgun, especially made for you or for the store, or the latest.
To kill an elephant.
Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, you can buy whatever. And all the new things, you know, rackets, like all kind of sporting goods, you know, like the first treadmill. We got the first treadmill ever. I had this opportunity to, you know, when I saw that, was that, you know, the treadmill. And the company used to be called Treadex. That's the first company actually developed the treadmill technology, which, we, you know, is all over the place now. But we had the opportunity to work with the first ever treadmill, you know. Yeah. So it was a great opportunity for me to work in that environment, and especially working in Beverly Hills. You know, Beverly Hills is the only place I tell people that you can actually be in a corner of Beverly and Rodeo and experience or have the opportunity to witness two Rolls Royce colliding. You know, that's only the few places in you can say that statistically you can see that. You know, you can wait here in Santurce, in La Calle, in La Fernanda Juca, and spend your lifetime, and that won't happen.
There was a great story, because of course Beverly Hills and Hollywood and all, the great story about, you know, Lucille Ball. Share that story.
Well, it's an interesting story.
And it was a conflict situation for a moment.
It was interesting.
Yeah,
because what happened was at that time, and it's always because of the treadmill. You know, I usually, because of my band experience, you know, I told you that life is like a show. You need to put a show sometimes,
right,
you know,
right.
Especially if you're selling something.
Right.
You know, so I had the opportunity, because I was running a lot at that time. You know, it was a very big part of my fitness program. When I saw the treadmill, I really enjoyed the treadmill. And I had this system of whoever went to see that treadmill, I jump in the treadmill, explain them how I work, and I actually run or move or walk. So Gary Norton was was married to Lucille Ball at that time. And he came and saw it, and he told me, well, I would like to have this, buy this for my wife. How much is going to be? It's $2,800 at that time. Was a lot of money. So he flipped this credit card with different colors, you know how it is. And so he bought the equipment. So then after maybe 2 or 3 days, I got a call, and they said, Jose, you have to come by, you know, the treadmill, because, or by the apartment, because Lucille Ball wants to talk to you. I said, Lucille Ball, wow. So she was there, and she wanted to see how the treadmill would work, and I remember she asked me, where you come from? Because she couldn't figure out my accent. You know, nobody can figure out my accent now, but at that time, because in California, you know, there's a lot of Mexicans, so she knew that I wasn't Mexican. And when I told her that I was Puerto Rican, she said, she figures, because, you know, her ex-husband, but Desi Arnaz, was Cuban.
Right.
So then after that, there was an article in the newspaper, in the Los Angeles Times, a small article saying, well, Gary really loves Lucy, and for a mere $2,800, he bought this treadmill from this guy, Jose Lizari, and Abercrombie & Fitch. So the next day I got a call, and I hear this hoarse voice, you know, she had this incredible
deep voice.
And I said, you know how much I charge for a commercial, Mr. Irizarry? And I said, yeah, because I didn't authorize you to put that in my name. And I said, well, I'm sorry, Ms. Boyd, it wasn't me. you know, so I want to talk with your manager because my lawyers are going to get in touch with him. I said, uh-oh, so this is a big thing here now. So I went to talk to the manager, and the manager told me, Jose, don't worry about it, you know. So 3 days later, I got a, they sent me, called me to the office, and they said, well, you know, we fired the public relations person because she wasn't supposed to do that. And but I want you to tell you that that she told me that nothing could happen to you because you were very nice with her. So she actually helped me out because he could fire me.
Yeah, if she had spoken badly of you, you'd be out.
Out in a second. So but then he told me that the first step was you make sure that you get that treadmill to her house as soon as possible. So I got this opportunity.
And keep her happy.
Very happy. So I did, and I had the opportunity to go and to her house and to see all these pictures and set up the treadmill for her, teach her how to use it, and go there maybe a couple of times. And so it was a great experience for me.
Yeah, when you commented to me that you may have you look back, you may have lost an opportunity because that probably would have been the beginning of personal training, which,
really?
Which you did later.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. But that
I saw that right after that, like a month or two after that, then I decided to want to go to Syracuse.
Yeah. Well, we have to take a break.
Okay.
From Abercrombie Fitch and heading the athletic, the sporting department, and dealing with the Stars. How you get to Syracuse. So we'll be right back.